The man who refuses to quit cannot be stopped. My name's Shawn Michael Crane. Welcome to the Unstoppable Mindset Podcast. Welcome to the Unstoppable Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Shawn Michael Crane. In studio today in the Santa Barbara HQ, I got Matt Fleming. Matt Fleming's a good friend of mine. He's also the head coach in the Unstoppable Coaching Program, which helps men with their mindset, their fitness, their nutrition. We take average Joes and turn them into fucking superheroes, right? Super dads, super husbands. Like, our goal is to take individuals and help them become their best self, mind, body, and spirit. So we have an app, we have a community, we do weekly coaching calls, and Matt facilitates all of that. Matt Fleming has a really cool story. You've heard it before, overcoming the odds, addiction, depression, feeling lost in life, very similar to my journey, right? He didn't go to prison like I did, but he's been in handcuffs, spoiler alert. But today we just want to talk about sobriety because it's been so life-changing for both of us. I brought Matt on the podcast because I want him to share about his struggles with addiction and what his life is like now that he's been sober. Matt, how long have you been sober for?
Going on 2.5 years.
So 2.5 years, which is life-changing. I have 12 years of sobriety, honestly. I don't even feel like an addict. Like when you go to AA and they say, I'm an alcoholic, like I won't say that shit. Or when you go to NA and they say like, yeah, my name's Sean, I'm an addict. Like, no, I'm not. That was a past version of myself. I've evolved to such a point where I don't identify with that person. And I'm so careful with the words that I choose to identify with. I'm so careful with my own vocabulary and my self-talk. And I think that that's something that they should look into in those different programs. Anyway, that's a different topic. Today we're going to talk about sobriety. So if you guys are watching this right now and you know somebody who's struggling with addiction, whether it's food, alcohol, porn, drugs, pills, I want you to share this episode with them. Okay, we're going to dive really deep into addiction, why people use those substances, and how to overcome them, how to eradicate that addictive tendency or that way to cope from your life forever. I'm a guy who literally got sober in a jail cell while I was facing life in prison, and I made a decision to never use drugs or alcohol ever again, and I haven't touched them since. How is that possible? Like, so many people struggle to get sober. So many people relapse. In fact, when you go to meetings for NA and AA, they say relapse is a part of recovery. That's a stupid thing to say. That's a limiting belief, right? So I'm all about personal development and personal growth to the point where I feel like, you know, I'm not untouchable, but I feel like a lot of the things that they teach in AA and NA no longer apply to me. That's for like a guy who just needs to figure out how to get sober for a day or two or three or 2 years like Matt. But there comes a point in your life where you have to realize you can elevate beyond that way of living to the point where it no longer exists in your life. And, you know, I know that's a pretty profound statement to make. Anyway, I want to talk about why people use drugs and alcohol, why people are now using food and their phones and porn the same way Matt and I abused drugs and alcohol in our adolescent and early adulthood. So, Matt, why do you think people become addicted to drugs and alcohol?
I think a lot of people, the main reason is they just don't feel comfortable in their own skin. Like, that was my experience growing up. I always felt less than, never felt a part of. I could never go to a party and feel comfortable. I could never, you know, just converse with people and feel comfortable. And whenever I discovered alcohol, I finally felt like I could do all those things, right? It just took away that feeling of just uncomfortableness. And I was able to be outgoing and be outspoken like I always wanted to be sober, but...
Yeah, I mean, they call it liquid courage for a reason.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that, but let's dive deeper. Why do you think you were unable to feel the way you want to feel or be the way you want in those social settings?
I mean, just
lacking. Or people in general. So if you're saying people use to fit in, yeah, or just to, like, you know, you hear people say take the edge off.
Yeah.
Like, why do they need something to do that? Why can't they just do it on their own?
Because they lack confidence.
But, like, why?
I would imagine it could be a number of reasons. You know, for me, it was more about how I grew up, like never having a dad around, not knowing my real dad, and other things like that, right? It just made me feel less than, I guess, is just the best way to put it. I can't say that's the same case for everybody, but in my case, that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's the answer I was looking for. Like, you have to go deeper with these yeah, questions or these answers, right? Like, people abuse drugs and alcohol or food or other stuff in life to try to cover up a feeling they're having. And a lot of times this is unconscious to people. Like, they just know when they get high, they feel good. Or when they eat that food or when they watch that porn, like, suddenly they feel okay. But, you know, there's a root cause behind that desire to numb out a feeling or escape reality, right? Like, you're literally trying to change how you feel in your life. This is your fucking life. So for me, the same thing. I went through a lot of tough times growing up as a kid, saw a lot of bad things at home. It scarred me. It caused a lot of pain. And my life just fell apart. And I remember when I started using marijuana, alcohol, and then pills, cocaine. I used everything. I did it because it helped me to forget about my life. It helped me to forget about my problems. It kept me in denial that that stuff actually happened. So a lot of times, you know, we have to dig to the root cause of why do we turn to this substance? Why do we need to use that thing? And this is when personal development comes into play. Like, learning about yourself and understanding yourself is key to understanding why you do what you do. So, you know, I was that same kid in high school who needed the drink to talk to girls or just to fit in, have a good time. You know, a lot of that too is you're still learning about yourself and you're still growing as a person. So a lot of people drink socially, but the ones that become addicted to drugs and alcohol, addicted to certain maladaptive coping mechanisms, it's because there's something deeply rooted in them, probably from childhood, probably from their parents, probably from their upbringing, that they haven't resolved. So, Matt, like, if that's the case, what do people have to do to go about healing? Like, what do you think healing is? How do you think someone listening needs to first identify why they use, why they abuse drugs and alcohol, and then what to do to start the healing process so they no longer need to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first step, obviously, is, like, getting rid of all the vices, you know, that's step one. For me, I realized, like, I thought getting sober would solve my problems, but it just made it possible to start being able to solve my problems, right? I realized I had a lot more deeper issues that I had to deal with. And I've never gone to therapy, but I feel like that could be a good thing for people. But, you know, just recognizing certain things, getting around people that are going to help you grow, and then just getting the underlying cause, you know, like recognizing what those issues are, like what we just talked about, and then go about fixing them. Can you restate your question?
Yeah, no, I want to jump in there because this is a good thing to talk about. So the first step, and I did this, and I kind of just did this intuitively and out of survival. Like, I was facing life in prison, you guys. And I remember the challenge in front of me seemed insurmountable, and I knew I couldn't go into that challenge with any baggage. Like, I was going to have to overcome this massive, monumental obstacle in my path, and I couldn't climb that thing and overcome it if I was carrying all this baggage from the past. Like, that's the way I thought about it. And I remember very quickly I made the decision that I was going to make peace with my past, forgive my parents, and accept what had happened to me. It took me 10 years to make that decision. 10 years of using drugs and alcohol to numb out my pain. 10 years of living in denial. 10 years of never talking about it, never acknowledging it. When people at school or friends' parents would ask me or my own family members would try to talk to me, I would shut down. I would shut down because I didn't want to acknowledge what had happened in my life. So that's the first step. Whatever happened in your life in the past, you have to acknowledge it and you have to work to make peace with the past or forgive those people. Now, one of the lessons I teach coaching clients who come into my coaching program who are still afflicted by the past, they have trauma, they haven't healed, is literally writing out all the memories and people that stand out in a negative way and then making an amends, just like they do in AA and NA, writing them letters of forgiveness. And you don't even have to give them the letters, but what you'll find is by writing those letters of forgiveness, it's forcing you to acknowledge what happened, it's forcing you to feel the emotion behind those events. Oftentimes people will cry, will have all this emotional response because all that stuff you bottled up for so long is surfacing. And the last thing they'll realize is forgiving that person wasn't about the individual, it was for themselves. And so that you can let go of all that hate, all that anger, all that resentment, all that pain that you've bottled up for so long. That's the first step, right? What that does is it almost gives you like a clean slate. Like, you're no longer afflicted by those things when you do it the right way. And some people go to therapy for years to facilitate this process. For me, it happened in a matter of days. And I think it's because my environment. I was in prison, you know, the odds were so high, like the severity was so intense that I was in a life or death situation. And the second thing I started doing, paying attention, right? The first thing is you have to identify, accept, and let go or forgive people and situations from the past. Now, the next thing you have to do is every day, this has to be your sole purpose. You have to do things that make you feel proud of who you are. Because the root cause of people becoming addicted to drugs and alcohol is shame. It's not feeling good enough, self-worth, right? Memories, toxic relationships, all this negative stuff. Once you release that and you accept it and you let go, the next thing you have to focus on is building up this new positive state, this new positive perspective, this new positive mentality, this memory or this history of memories that are positive, right? The way I did that was literally working out, reading, and writing every day. That's all I could do at that time. But I started doing those things every day as if my life depended on it. And in a very short period of time, a matter of months, I felt a shift taking in place. I felt a shift taking place within me, right? It was like feeling proud of myself, feeling good about myself. This was the first time I experienced that since childhood. A lot of people that are abusing drugs and alcohol are still wounded from the past, and they're not doing anything in the present to make them feel good about who they are. So they stay stuck. So, you know, Matt, let's talk about prolonged periods of sobriety. Like, you've been sober 2 years now. Why do you think people end up relapsing? Like, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was just describing, but I want to hear from you. Why do you think people relapse, and why are you not going to relapse?
I mean, I think there's a number of reasons people relapse. You know, it could be surrounding themselves with the wrong people. Again, like you were just talking about, not doing things that make you proud of who you are. Not sticking around because things aren't taking, like, their life's not getting better quick enough. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. You know what I mean? I'm still very early on this journey. Like, my life is far from where I want it to be right now, but I know that if I just keep sticking around and keep showing up, that things will just continue to get better. You know, I surround myself with positive people today. Like, I don't hang around with people that are going to bring me down, that talk negatively about themselves, about other people. Like, I want to hang out with people that think bigger than me, that are further ahead along in the journey, that have some value to teach me, like, that are doing things that I want to do. You know, they tell you in recovery to find people that have what you want and then figure out how they got it. And so that's been my experience. You know, and sometimes in the beginning, like, those people, you don't fit in with those people yet, right? So you kind of just got to work on yourself and go down this little bit of a lonely path until you attract those people into your life. Yeah. You start working on yourself, and you'll find that those people and opportunities will find their way into your life. But again, it doesn't happen overnight. You got to be willing to stick it out and do it on your own for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Your environment, your friend circle, the people you're surrounding yourself with. And then there's one other thing you said there that was really important. Oh, like progression. Yeah. So progression, Tony Robbins said this, progression creates fulfillment in life. Progression is what creates happiness. Like, if you're just idle and stagnant, eventually you're going to backslide, or you're just going to feel discouraged.
Yeah.
That's why you see successful people who are always striving for more. It's not because they're greedy. It's not because they need more just to, like, be happy, like more money, more cars, more stuff. It's the progression of who you're becoming. It's an evolution of yourself. Like, I want to reach my full potential. I'll never get there because it's limitless, but I'm going to die trying. So what saved my life was making a commitment to get sober. Number two, finding something that I loved, personal development, personal growth, exercise, reading, learning new things. Like, I fell in love with that process. Eventually, I forgot about drugs and alcohol. I forgot about that person. Like, that person didn't even exist anymore. You know what I mean? I evolved at such a rapid pace that I really became and felt like this new version of myself, the person I always wanted to be. Yeah. Like, I felt like I was when I was 9 years old, before I ever knew about drugs and alcohol, before I saw that bad shit at home and had those scars. Like, I felt back to that kid, you know? And so, like, you guys, you need to constantly strive for stuff. It's so important. Like, why would you ever just want to be idle and stagnant? That's why retirement's such a stupid concept. Like, people that retire, if they don't find stuff that is fun and enjoyable, they fucking die. Like, why do you think that happens? Because they don't have something to focus on or aim for every day, right? That's why people who retire still, you know, the ones that live a long time, they're going out and fishing, hiking, you know, doing their little crosswords. Like it's life, right? You're still alive. So, but that's really important. And check this out. Matt was talking about, like, it's a lonely journey. It is. I was so fucking lonely in prison. I was so lonely, you know? I would cry all the time. I didn't always have tears, but my heart was aching. I missed my family. I missed the beach. You know, I missed feeling like love and connection with people. I just missed having conversations. Maybe this is one of the reasons I love to create content so much and talk.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to anybody for 5 years. Like, I didn't have any conversations of substance, and I missed that so much. I just want to have positive people around me who I could have real conversations about, you know, interesting conversations. I want to meet intriguing people. I want to get out in the world, and I want to do all the stuff that I didn't do in my past. So, it's true, man. If you want to change your life and you're really committed to making change, whether it's sobriety, whether it's in your career, in your relationships, whatever it is, your health, your fitness, two things Matt Fleming just said that are key: your environment. Where are you? Who are you around? And number two, be prepared to go on that lonely path for a while where you're really finding yourself and you're proving yourself that you want to change, because you got to do that. You got to remove yourself from that old way of living and kind of go on this journey and embark on it on your own for a while before you really discover like who you are, and then you arrive as that person, you know? So we're gonna cap this podcast with one more thing, and this is really important. Like, Matt, what would you tell somebody who's currently literally addicted to drugs and alcohol? They want to change, they want to quit, but they can't. And not just drugs and alcohol, but any facet of life. You want to change your behavior, but you can't. You feel like a slave, a victim to whatever that thing is in your life. What would you tell them, Matt?
I mean, it has to get bad enough, you know? They say rock bottom is wherever you decide to stop digging. Some people's rock bottom is different than others, you know? I've talked to people that, like, once they became homeless, that was their rock bottom. For me, I couldn't dig deep enough, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't care about being homeless. Like, I didn't like it, but I did it anyway. It didn't stop me. I didn't care about going to jail for the, you know, 20th time. Like, I didn't like it, but it didn't stop me. And really, what the moment of clarity came for me, God intervened in my life, man, because, you know, I'll just tell you the gory details. I woke up at whatever time it was, got a hold of a pill that I thought was a certain pill, and it was fentanyl. You know, fentanyl is killing a lot of people. I woke up with that needle in my arm in a parking lot, all by myself in the dollar store. And it was just like the most lonely, depressing, degrading time I've ever experienced. And I just decided enough was enough. And it didn't happen right then. It took me a lot of, you know, going through hoops. I had to go. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any resources. I didn't have anyone to, like, send me to some Passages of Malibu detox center. You know what I mean? I had to do it myself. So I went, talked to the county court system, and, you know, it took me a couple months, and they finally sent me to some detox facility in King City, which is like the middle of nowhere. And I was just sharing with you before this podcast, like, that place was 3 hours away, and it took me 3 days to get there because I was fighting it with everything in me. You know what I mean? I was like, it just scared me to think of life sober. I thought it was going to be boring and have no meaning, which really the life I was living at the time was boring and had no meaning. I was just basically living to die. And so I guess my best suggestion for, you know, going back to what you asked of what would I tell someone, is just like, you got to make sure it's bad enough, because make sure this time that you go to make that change, it's going to stick. Because if it's not bad enough, you're not ready yet. Keep on digging and pray to God that you make it, you know, because a lot of people don't. I could probably, if I sat here for a minute, I could probably think of at least 15 people that passed away last year, either that I used to hang out with or get high with or knew, or in some way, one way or another, you know what I mean? And it's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Let me jump in too, because I have a thought too. Like, it's not just about the people who are heavily addicted as well. Yeah. Like, we were both at rock bottom. Yeah. Thank God, right? Because so many people don't get to that point, and they just have like this little habit that corrupts their life over time, but it's never severe enough to compel them to change.
Yeah.
Like the guy who secretly drinks at night when his kids go to sleep, but he's a functioning alcoholic. The guy who looks at porn and it affects his intimacy with his wife.
Yeah.
Like, we have all these scenarios right now in society. I know all these guys. I talk to so many people all the time. And people are, they're fucked up, man. They're battling all these different things behind closed doors. So if you're a functioning addict, or you have these vices and you have these things that you're doing that are harming you and affecting the quality of your life, you better wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, that can easily turn into a full-blown addiction. Not just that, but what's at stake for you? Like, your marriage, your children, your career, your livelihood. Like, don't play with fire, man. Don't play with the devil, you know? And so what I tell individuals like that is, you need to be in an environment around people who want to win at the highest level. Like, the reason Matt and I created the coaching program we have is because we want to win at the highest level, and we want to show men how to do it.
Yeah.
I got sober in a jail cell. I haven't used in 12 years. Not only did I get sober, I rebuilt my entire fucking life. You think we could teach you something about personal development? You think this is just about abs and following a nutrition plan? It goes so much deeper than that. It's about who you really want to be in this life and helping you to live out that potential for your family and your business, for society. Like, there's such a bigger calling here than just this basic shit that most people focus on. You got to get sober because that's the only way that you can tap into God's message. Sobriety is a superpower because if you're not sober, if you're not 100% sober, you will never get the clarity that you need to tap into your truth. You will never feel that calling from above. You will never feel that conviction and that urgency inside of you the way you do when you're sober. Yeah. If you could be sober and talk to girls, if you could be sober and crush it in business or go out to meetings and, you know, these cocktail hours and still be social and likable and confident, you could do anything in your life, right? Most people have this fear of, you know, being liked by other people. Most people get awkward in social settings. Most people don't feel comfortable in their own skin. That has nothing to do with sobriety. It's your personal development. So you guys got to recognize this. If you have a drink every once in a while, you're not at your best. If you need a pill to go to sleep, you need to smoke every once in a while to reduce the stress, you're not at your best. Imagine the person that doesn't need that shit, how they show up in their life. Imagine how they show up for their families. Imagine how they show up for their wives. Imagine how they show up in their business. I don't need any of that. I could be confident. I've developed myself. I don't need any of that. I can manage stress without a pill. I don't need any of that, okay? And so when you get to that point in your life, it'll change everything. I don't want to just be okay. I don't want to do good in life. I want to do exceptionally fucking great. I want to be part of the 0.0001% who exist in this planet. In order to do that, I got to be sober. And if you disagree with that or you don't think it's possible, show me your life. And guess what? I'm going to tell you that you could do better. Because I don't care what you have in life or what you've achieved. I know if you were sober, you'd get that much better, right? And if you really care about the impact that you have and the legacy that you leave behind, you'll recognize that it's not about you and you're here to be an example for other people and they need you. So any last words, Matt, before we wrap this one up? That was my final spiel on it. Sobriety is a superpower. You'll never persuade me to believe otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, no, you nailed it. Like, I have a fire lit inside of me that it's just, I can't even explain it, man. Ever since I got sober and I just started challenging myself, right? Kind of like how we got reconnected by when I did the marathon and all that stuff. And it's just, I have this feeling inside of me that I know everything's going to work out. And just, I want to see how far I can go. I have so much untapped potential. And it's just a crazy feeling, man. I've never had this excitement about life before. And so I'm super grateful that we've crossed paths and we've been able to do this whole coaching program thing. And, you know, I love doing things that make myself feel better, but it also, it like fires me up whenever I see other guys get that fire lit inside of them. And, you know, you get to change their lives and the ripple effect it has on them and their family and their kids and just the limitless possibilities that come with it, you know?
Limitless possibilities, man. This is the Unstoppable Mindset Podcast. Hey, check it out. This isn't just me and Matt trying to tell you guys how to live and how to be. We fucking need you. I can't do this alone. I can't change the world by myself. I need millions of people who think the same way and who want to live the same way who got my back. I got your guys' back, but I need you. Iron sharpens iron. So we're going to change the world together, but I need you guys to rise to the occasion. I need you sober, mentally strong, physically fit, spiritually tapped in, best fathers, best husbands, best leaders. I fucking need you guys, okay? Follow me at Sean Crane Official on Instagram. Shoot me a DM if this message resonated with you. I want to connect with you. I need you guys, all right? Let's change the world together. Let's go.